here in this church, we try to deal as best we can with the practical problems faced by every human being. And one problem which disturbs and maybe even destroys the life of many people is the problem of fear. So that this morning what we want to talk to you about is no fear of anything. A doctor once suggested to me that I ought to preach a sermon on fear every 6 months. Because he said if we could eliminate fear from the minds of people, we'd empty out the doctor's offices and we would decimate the hospital beds. Fear, he says, is one of the most devastating enemies of human personality. Now, once in a while, you'll run across somebody who has no fear of anything. I've known such people. And the fact that there are such persons indicates that we, too, can achieve that healthy, happy, wonderful estate in which we're not afraid of anything. And you'd better find it for your own good. There's an old Oriental story that an angel one day met the disease cholera on the way to a certain city. And the angel said, "Cholera, why are you going to that city?" And cholera said, "I'm going there to kill 20,000 people in a plague." When cholera returned, he met the same angel. The angel said, "You villain, you knave, 100,000 people were killed, not the 20 that you said you were going to kill." Cholera said, "Don't blame me for more than the 20. Fear killed all the rest." So it is. Frightful devastation of abnormal fear. Now, normal fear is a good thing. Otherwise, you'd run out in the street and be killed by an automobile. But abnormal fear inhabits that ghost-like area of shadowy gloom in which you build up terrible anxieties which destroy your peace of mind and your physical health. Now, the Bible, of course, knows all about this. There's no book ever written that has as much healing potency as the Holy Scriptures. And in one place it said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And at another place it says, "For the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear." We pick that up for ourselves. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You got a sound mind? Is your mind clear and rational and reasonable at all times? Or are you motivated by emotional responses, by anxieties, by darkness? What a blessing it is to have a sound mind. And when you have a sound mind, you're filled with the opposite of fear, which is courage. Now, I always believe in adding a classical element to any sermon, so I have a few very outstanding quotations to give you here so that when you go away, you'll say, "I heard a really intellectual sermon at Marble Collegiate Church." Now, the other day, I was reading a book which was given to me many years ago when I spoke at Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut, on a wintry Sunday, maybe 40, 45 years ago. I was very young at the time, just starting out in the ministry. And I had a dinner after the service with an old professor. He must have been way up in his 80s. He was a venerable, wise, mellow old man. And he took me home to dinner with him. And after dinner was over, sitting in front of the fireplace, he went and got a book out of a drawer, came and handed it to me, and he said, "Young man, keep this book all your life, because you'll need it, and read it and keep it along with the Bible, because this is one of the greatest books ever written. And you just read it until you can almost memorize it." And I took it, and I read it, and I still have it after all those years. And it's a book by J.M. Barrie, the great writer of Peter Pan and other classics, who gave the rectorial address at St. Andrews University in Scotland on the third day of May, 1922. And this speech ranks as an immortal classic. And the title of the speech was one word: courage. He chose that to speak on this distinguished occasion to the students of St. Andrews and their alumni at that great university. And he comes to the end of the speech, and this is what he says: "Courage is the thing. All goes if courage goes. What says our glorious Johnson of courage? Unless a man has that virtue, he has no security for preserving any other virtue. We should thank our Creator three times daily for courage." So says J.M. Barrie in one of the greatest speeches of all time. Smiley Blanton, famous psychiatrist, says the first and finest lesson that parents can teach their child is simply courage. And Robert Louis Stevenson says, "As courage and intelligence are the two qualities best worth a good man's cultivation, so it is the first part of intelligence to recognize our precarious estate in this life. And the first part of courage is to be not at all abashed before the fact." That, says Stevenson, is having a sound mind. You know you live in a world that is insecure, that your very life is insecure. Any day your life or mine might be snuffed out. There is no security. But the person who has a sound mind recognizes the fact and doesn't get upset about it. He's not abashed by it, and he just lives with courage. Then one more quotation from Henry J. Taylor, one of our most distinguished news correspondents. For 8 years during Eisenhower's administration, ambassador to Switzerland, he wrote a book called Men in Motion, and he recounts some advice his father gave to him. And this always made a great impression on me. "Never be afraid of anything. Don't worry too much about yourself and about getting hurt. People who go through life being cautious miss a great deal. Take your chances where you have to. It's better luck. You'll see more. And you'll probably live as long anyway." So the person with a sound mind doesn't go around every day telling himself he's going to run into some kind of danger, or he's going to get hurt, or he's got a pain here, or got an ache down here someplace, and therefore he's got to get a pill for the pain here and a pill for the ache here, and to spend his life popping pills in his mouth or drinking liquids out of a bottle. There are so many people who think they're sick who are not sick, but who are sick because they make themselves sick by an unsound mind. I was very impressed to read about a man from Broken Bow, Nebraska. Now, I've been all over the United States, but I've never yet had the privilege, as far as I can recall, of being in Broken Bow. But I'd like to go there sometime because I like the name of the town, Broken Bow. Well, it seems there was a man in Broken Bow who'd made quite a lot of money, but he also had dyspepsia along with it. He had a pain in his stomach about most of the time. He couldn't sleep at night. He was very insecure. And he was the victim of every kind of medication. He took all the health magazines and he read them all. And then he did really, as a result of this, develop ulcers, a very bad case of ulcers. And three doctors in Broken Bow told him that unless he got a sound, healthy mind, these ulcers were going to kill him. And they sent him to Chicago, where there was at that time, according to the story, the greatest ulcer specialist in the United States. And the ulcer specialist put him through all the tests, and he said to him, "My friends, you've got to be very careful because you've got a very bad case." And he said, "It's gone so far that nothing can really be done about it." He said, "I'm sorry to tell you that you're going to die relatively soon. You've got to be very careful. But even if you are careful, you're going to die." And the man was paying this specialist a good big fee, and he said to him, "For the fee, can you tell me when I'm going to die?" And the doctor said, "Well, I would give you about a year if you take good care of yourself." So the man went back to Broken Bow, and he pondered on this fact, and he said to himself, "The doctor says if I take good care of myself, I can live a year." Well, he says, "Is it worth it? Why don't I just live normally for 1 year? And if I die in a year, so what? I'm going to die anyway." So he decided he would take a trip around the world. And he went and he told the doctor about it. And the doctor said, in those days, they didn't travel by airplane, but by ships. The doctor said, "You'll, in all likelihood, be buried at sea." Well, a man said, "I can't be buried at sea because I've promised my children I'm going to be buried in Broken Bow." And he says, "We got a cemetery plot where the whole family has been buried. I can't be buried at sea." So he bought a casket. And he actually put the casket on board a ship. And he told the captain and the purser of the ship that if he died, put him in this casket, put him in a deep freeze, and when he got back to New York, send him back to Broken Bow. Having taken care of all these exigencies, he proceeded then to enjoy himself. He stayed up late at night. He danced, which he hadn't been doing because that was dangerous since he had a bad heart. He went ashore at every place they came to, ate all the native food, lived it up, and finally went back to Broken Bow and sold the casket back to the undertaker. Now, after all, it is a fact. You've got to use some common sense, but don't use too much of it. Because if you do, you'll become a victim of fear. Go and spend a little time with a little child. They're not afraid of anything except loud noises. Maybe they're afraid of the dark, but if they are, it's because their mothers made them afraid of the dark, or their father. A little child, you know, they just live normally and naturally. And I remember somewhere reading in Christianity that that's what you're to become as a little child. You've got this wonderful life, and you've got a good, healthy body, and you've got a good mind, and therefore don't get it fouled up with a lot of fear and hate and resentment and tension and all these other things that siphon off its good health. You know, the Bible is very wise. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, healthy-mindedness is one way in which you need not be afraid of anything. Strange how we get these obsessions in our minds. I was staying in my apartment here in New York one night, all alone. My wife was away. And we've got several doors. So I was sitting there, and I heard all these noises. And we got very good doormen, for the most part. And nice fellas, but, you know, anybody could get around them, I'm pretty sure. So at any rate, I got to thinking to myself, are all the doors locked? So I went around, I tried that one, and I tried that one. I tried that one. Then I got to thinking about my grandfather. His name was Samuel Peel. He was a marvelous man. But he was afraid of a lot of things. And I can remember him as a little child, seeing him and my grandmother closing up the house for the night. And my grandmother would always look under the bed. So I said to her once, what are you looking for under the bed, Grandma? And she said, you can never tell. There may be a burglar under the bed. She looked under the bed for 50 years. Never did find one. What a disappointment. And my grandfather, he'd go around shaking every knob. And then he'd go and get in the bed, and then Grandma would say, did you lock the doors? He'd say, I don't know, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. So get and he'd try all the knobs again. So this night, not long ago, after all these years, when my wife was away, I was trying to knob. And suddenly, I reasserted my manhood, and I said, get away from me, Grandpa. Every last one of you here could tell some such amusing but, you know, pathetic story. How your mind gets what you call unsound. But God gives us, among all the other great blessings of this life, a mind at peace, a mind that's well organized, a mind that is under powerful control. And when your mind is thus conditioned, you're not afraid of anything. And then there's another very simple thing that the Bible talks about, and that is just to get really to believing that God is your friend and that He is with you and that He is watching over you and that He will take care of you. Now, I know for a highly intellectual person, this is so simple. And they may walk out of here today and say, that is oversimplistic. Well, you know something? You've got to be a great mind to be simple. Only great minds can take a simple truth, which in its ramifications is infinitely complex, and utilize it for his health and his well-being. We used to have a man here by the name of Amos Parrish. He was one of the greatest merchandisers in this country. And he told me, he asked me one time, what was the greatest truth in all the world? I said, I don't know, AP, you tell me. He said, it is this, we are not alone. And that's very, very profound. In this great wandering island in the sky, with all of its insecurity and uncertainty, you're not alone. You're not alone, nor you, nor you, nor you, nor you, nor I. We have somebody with us, watching over us, taking care of us. I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world itself, I'm going to be with you. So when you begin to get afraid, just remind yourself, I don't have to handle this thing all on my own. God is with me. The dear Savior is with me. There was a man attended these church services here for a long time, some years ago. Always sat in the balcony, he told me. I never knew him until one Sunday he came up and handed me his card. And he said, I'm in a bad state of mind. I wonder if I could see you. I looked at the card. I recognized the name of a man who was at that time one of the five greatest industrialists in the United States, head of one of the five greatest corporations. And he said, can I have an appointment with you? I said, well, sir, I'm pretty busy, but I'll see you when I can. So he came to see me. He was a man of direct action, direct speech. He said, do you, with your psychological knowledge? Well, I said, I haven't got much psychological knowledge, but I said, what little I have is available to you. He says, with your psychological knowledge, do you think I'm losing my mind? Well, I said, sir, I only know you by reputation. The first time I've ever seen you is right now, and nobody out of his mind could hardly ask so intelligent a question. So I said, I think I can assure you that you're not losing your mind. Which I thought wasn't half bad to come right off the top of your head. So he said, well, the problem is this. I forget what he said. He was in his 50s at the time. He said, always in my earlier life, I could make a decision like that. After all the proper thought and debate and discussion and so forth, I'd make a decision, and that was it. I knew it was right. And I was recognized in my company and in the industry as a man of great decisive power. But now he says, so for some reason or other, I'm afraid to make a decision. And I put it off as far as I can. And if I do make it, then I begin to wonder whether it's right. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm scared. I'm filled with fear. And he said, I go to my medical doctor, and he gives me a prescription. You're a kind of a spiritual doctor. Can't you write me out a prescription? I said, sure I can. I said, every morning when you wake up, before you get out of bed, go through a little calisthenics and get your body unlaxed. And then you say to the Lord, dear Lord, I love you, and you love me, and I'm going down to the office now, and you're going to be with me, and you've got a great mind, far greater than mine. And when a decision has to be made, you help me make the decision, will you? And then I said, when you go to bed at night, you say to the Lord, Lord, thank you. You were with me all day. We had a tough decision on that one, didn't we? And another tough one on this one. But we made them. And I want to thank you for the insight and the help you gave to me. And then I said, after you say that, you repeat another passage of Scripture. He giveth his beloved sleep. And then just feel that the Lord has his hand on your head, and you go to sleep. And sleep well all night long. It's like a father talking to a small boy. He said, write that out for me, will you? I wrote it out for him. And later I discovered that he was having these things Xeroxed. And he was handing them out to business people all over the country. In fact, one of the greatest soft drink presidents in the United States of a few years back pulled out a wallet one day and showed it to me. And he said, you know, as I followed that prescription, I had a feeling that God is right with me. Now, the greater the mind, the simpler the action. And these people hit upon one of the greatest of all truths for having no fear, and that is simply to believe in the glorious fact you are never, never alone. Have no fear.
For your convenience, please advance the tape to the end. It will then be ready for you to hear the other side.